Welcome back to Sundial on WLRN. Well, obesity in Florida may be a bigger problem than we originally thought. The University of Florida, partnering with Florida Hospital and the nonprofit Obesity Action Coalition, looked at the health data of 9 million Floridians. They found 37% of adults in the state are obese. That's 10% higher than the number presented by the Centers for Disease Control. The research breaks down obesity rates among different ethnic groups in the state and geographic regions. Dr. Stephen Smith is the co-author of the report and is a researcher and physician focused on the root causes of diabetes and obesity at Florida Hospital. He joins us now via Skype from Orlando. Dr. Smith, welcome.
Hey, thanks for having me on this afternoon. It's a pleasure to be here.
Appreciate having you here. Now, why did your numbers show that obesity was higher than we originally thought?
Yeah, so when the federal government determines what the obesity rates are in a state or even at a county level, that data is collected by calling people on the phone and asking them how much they weigh and how tall they are. And we know from other studies that that's not always accurate. So the researcher team went into our extended database and actually took measurements from people who sought healthcare within the state of Florida. And that's where the data comes from. It's actually measured data as opposed to asking somebody how tall and how much they weigh.
Because basically the other thing too is that we're not always telling the truth about how much we weigh, right?
Yeah, well, let's just say that not everybody believes the scale when they step on it. And sometimes we're taller and prettier than we think we're going to be. So this is just part of measuring as opposed to asking people what they feel or think. And clearly that was the case. 10% is a big difference, too.
So how does Florida compare to the rest of the country?
Yeah, so Florida, if you look at the federal data, again, but just by asking people, sits kind of in the middle of the stack in terms of obesity rates. A little bit higher in diabetes rates because the population's a tad bit older than the rest of the country. But I think what we showed here is that those numbers really need to be called into doubt because when we measure directly, we see rates that are much, much higher. So I think we got more of a problem than we think as the third largest state in the union now. Don't forget that.
Let's start by defining obesity. We should know what it is, but I mean, clinically, what does it mean to be obese?
Yeah, so we use a definition called the body mass index, and basically we take your weight and divide it by your height squared. It's pretty simple calculation. There are calculators all over the internet you can go and find. And we use a cut point of the number 30 is where we get that cut point from as qualifying somebody as an adult, not children, but adult as being being obese. The number that we use for overweight is 27. So it's a pretty simple calculation that people can make. Just measure your height and measure your weight and go to the web and put it in a calculator. It'll give you your number.
So let's break down some of the stuff that you found in this research. Let's look at different groups, ethnicities, and race. What did you discover there? Anything surprising?
Yeah, there were some surprises here. I think first, when we've looked at other data in other parts of the country, we know that African Americans, Hispanics, both have a higher prevalence of obesity than Caucasian populations, and that was confirmed here as well. So the overall rates in those two populations were much higher than they were in the Caucasian populations. And again, some of that was expected, but for example, one finding that I find very intriguing is that Hispanic men tend to have more problems, at least in Florida, with obesity than Hispanic women. And so there are some kind of details in here that are going to be important as we begin to develop strategies to try to help people focus in on what they can do about preventing weight gain in particular.
And do we know why that is? What is it about ethnic groups and race? Why we find more obesity in Black communities and Hispanic communities?
Yeah, so there's been a lot of discussion around this. Some of it has to do with just our ancestry and our genetics, and there's good evidence to say that that has some bearing here. But there are also social and cultural issues, particularly food culture and other socioeconomic factors that come into play as well. And it's really complicated to tease those apart. And suffice it to say that, lower education and lower income also go along with obesity. Poverty is a place where obesity presents itself, and diabetes as well, because obesity in many people will lead to diabetes. I mean, the other part of this, in addition to the food culture, is other activities or other parts of our culture, like our participation in leisure time physical activity, getting out for walks in the evening, things that help burn calories off that we know can help prevent weight gain as well. So it's kind of complicated, but those are kind of the big three. Just to recap, our race and ethnicity contributes, physical activity and that culture goes along with it, and then our food culture comes with us through our families as well.
All right, so we talk about those, and food culture is the one I wanted to start with, because one, I needed you to define for us, what is food culture? Is this just the attitude that we have toward food and how we're raised to think about food?
Yeah, it's not only it, that's a big part of it. The families, our extended families, and our nuclear families, and the culture that we grow up in. Those food cultures follow us wherever we go in our life. That's incredibly important. I would say also that our neighborhoods and our schools that we go to create a food culture for us as well. And our environment, what foods in the grocery stores that are around us, and what kind of festivals we go to. I mean, food culture is, broadly speaking, all of those environmental determinants that contribute to what foods we select and how much we eat of those foods, too. I mean, if you look back 50 years ago, we had smaller plates because we ate less. And now plates are bigger and people are eating more. So it's not just about the food selection. It's about how much food's on the plate and how much people actually consume.
And what about also sometimes we're focused on trying to eat healthy because we have access to healthy foods, and some people may not have that easy access to healthy foods, but they have access to fast foods.
Yeah, that's for sure. And if you look at many of our fast food chains that are all around us in our society, it's interesting that some of them have worked really hard to incorporate healthier foods into what they offer, and some of them really haven't. And at the end of the day, it's a two-part equation. It's what's available and what people choose. And for the large part, if people were seeking out healthier foods and buying them, then I'm sure the businesses would follow that as well. So it's a two-way street here. It's not just about what's around you, it's what you choose yourself. And so it's an interesting kind of back and forth on this. And this concept of food deserts, where neighborhoods don't have grocery stores within walking distance that serve or sell healthy foods, even just fruits and vegetables. I would say that's absolutely true and a contributing factor, but we individually should be in those grocery stores asking them, where are the bananas and where are the vegetables that we want to take home and cook and that sort of thing too. So it runs both ways.
I'm speaking with Dr. Stephen Smith at Florida Hospital. He's the co-author of a recent study about Florida's struggles with obesity. The study found nearly 2 in 5 Floridians are considered obese. Dr. Smith has researched the root causes of obesity in different communities for years. He joins us via Skype right now from Orlando. What's the correlation, Dr. Smith, between education and obesity?
Yeah, it's actually pretty strong. One of the major determinants of your overall health is the zip code that you live in, and progressing, as we know, progressing through the educational system actually reduces the risk for developing obesity and diabetes as well. Part of that, again, is the environment that we live in. Part of it is simply education around what healthy food choices are, and part of it's being able to afford those healthy food choices. So it's not one thing that leads to economics and one's own socioeconomic status in the development of obesity. It's probably many, but there's a clear relationship there as well.
The study didn't look into childhood obesity. I know that you have another study coming out soon that's focused just on that. But When it comes to the issue of education, coming just staying on this for a second, do you think schools are doing enough to inform kids on values and habits of healthy eating and exercise?
Yeah, I look at it this way. I would answer the question, yes, I think there is more we can do here. And the competition for that educational effort is really those environmental things that we're talking about. It's fast food advertising of high-calorie meals with high-fat content and sugar fizzy beverages, which we see all the time, kids do in particular on TV. And I would say that our educational system, if we're going to improve the health of our communities, needs to work on the educational side just to really get into the why for kids. They need to pay better attention to what the advertising world can do to push foods that we, I think, most generally agree are not healthy in the composition or in the sizes that we serve in our fast food restaurants in particular.
So looking at, you talked about some of the other factors, I wanted to ask about geography. And when we look at the geography of Florida, we find more obesity in the northern part of the state than the southern part of the state. Is that accurate?
Yeah, it certainly is. And, those are predominantly the top half of the state, if you will, is predominantly rural. And the obesity rates on the maps that we created are, probably another 5 to 8% higher in those parts of the the great state of Florida. And it's very clear to us that some of that is actually due to socioeconomic status, but some of it is due to rural food culture and some of the access to healthy foods that we see in rural communities. And we actually need to drill down deeper into the data we already have to really understand this better. But it's clear that the obesity rates in some counties in the northern part of the state are, 40 to 45%. And that's not trivial when almost half of your population has a problem with obesity. The health impacts are huge, cardiovascular disease, development of diabetes. But there's an economic factor here, too. Healthcare costs go up with each BMI point that we talked about. So persons who have obesity are more likely to consume healthcare and spend money on healthcare, particularly for some of these chronic diseases. So it's not just a cosmetic issue here. This is a real economic and healthcare issue for the entire state, but again, particularly in the north.
You partnered with the nonprofit organization Obesity Action Coalition for this research. Why is it important to include an advocacy organization in the development of the study?
Yeah, it's very interesting. That organization is a national organization that really works on behalf of persons with obesity to make sure that they're represented at multiple levels, both politically, economically, within the workplace, but also in the research that's conducted around the condition. And I would say if we were doing a similar study in some other disease like cancer or heart disease, we'd want to have the same kind of, if you will, citizen scientists who are working beside us to help make sure we get the right questions, but also when we come to interpret the data, we bring it back to the persons that we really serve here, in this case, the persons in Florida with obesity.
So what are the challenges of trying to communicate the value of healthy eating and exercise in communities when they have that food culture or way of living that what kind of contradicts? And look, to be specific, and I'm Latino, a lot of fried foods, a lot of tasty fried foods, not necessarily healthy, but it's what I grew up with. So, but what are those challenges?
Yeah, I think there's challenges and there's opportunity here. The challenge is what you just mentioned, and that is we grow up with some of these foods and we understand them, they understand us, we learn to love them. But I will give you an example here from Orlando. We work with a fabulous group that has reinvented really the African-American menus and palates to be able to say, oh, maybe there's a better way we can take those same foods and make them more healthy for us. Or we can begin to educate folks on what it means to have some of that maybe less healthy food, but to make sure that we have colorful plates with other things on there that engage the tradition, not reject it. And I think that's the real key for us, learning to both love our food and our food culture and tradition, but not reject it on the outright. That doesn't seem to be working. And incorporating really healthier ways of participating in that food culture, I think, is really the direction we should go.
You know, we're surrounded by information, books, videos, and everything else that tells us, you know, how to exercise, how to eat healthy. And we've been told from the earliest days, we got to live a healthy lifestyle or we're going to run into these problems later in life. And here we are. We found out that the obesity rate is actually higher than we were told. So what's the answer in trying to reduce obesity rates? I mean, information's out there. It's not like people don't have it.
Yeah, so I think, you know, if you look at the things that actually work, because there's so much out there with nutritional supplements with no data to support them, we spend billions of dollars in the United States on things that don't work. And I think simply focusing in on the things that we know do work, understanding the complexity of how and why it is that people become overweight or develop obesity, which we haven't even touched the surface of that in today's discussion. But for example, we know that people who get 10,000 steps a day are less likely to gain weight over time. And if you just prevented weight gain in this country by having people move a little bit more and begin to, you know, pay more attention to their diet, we could actually level off our obesity rates instead of having them continue to increase. So I would say, you know, it sounds simple to eat less and exercise more, but I'm not saying you have to go to the gym 5 days a week. I'm saying what we can do is get out and have a nice walk in the evening with friends, or get up early if it's going to be a hot day and get a good walk in before the day starts. These kinds of things are really known to help prevent weight gain. And I think when it comes to our food culture, we pretty much know, as you mentioned a few minutes ago, what we shouldn't be eating. Okay. And I think just acting on the things that we already know is probably a good start before we get too complicated a message out there.
And I'll finish with this. I mean, it is going back to some of the factors, and socioeconomic being one of them. Is this a class issue?
I think it can be, but I think it also is a cultural and economic issue, as I mentioned earlier. We are bombarded with messages that are not always in line with good health, and we need to recognize that and also do our best to counterbalance that. We do, most of us, I think, intuit, maybe learn in school what our mama told us at home, is that, you know, you need a colorful plate, eat your vegetables, don't eat too much, and stay active. I think it's not a terribly complicated message. But this ability to incorporate healthy foods into our wonderful food culture here in Florida, I think that's another point of intersection where we need to do more work.
Dr. Stephen Smith is from Florida Hospital. He's also the co-author of a recent study about Florida struggles with obesity. As we mentioned, they found that there is more obesity in the state of Florida than we originally thought. Dr. Smith, it's been a pleasure. Thank you so much.
Hey, thanks for having me on this afternoon. Enjoy your show.
All right. And again, he joined us via Skype from Orlando. I know it's lunchtime. Did I just convince you to get a salad instead of a burger? All right. Still to come, an internship program in Miami teaching kids a lot of great skills, especially about personal finance. That's next on Sundial here on WLRN.